This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Hospitality, we have defined as the generous care of the guest or visitor. Hospitality is the generous care of the guest or visitor. But isn't it true that sometimes, even when we kind of muster hospitality, that sometimes it's more about us than it is about the guest? Isn't that sometimes true? You know, we herald cultures who are really good at hospitality. I have done that, standing up here. Like, throughout this series, I've pointed many times to my time, my one trip to Uganda where I experienced this, like, amazing hospitality. And it's true. They are, like, I mean, it's profound how good at hospitality they are. But their hospitality, cultures like that, their hospitality is so ingrained and so expected that it can begin to tread dangerously on being more about the giver of the hospitality than the receiver of the hospitality. So like in Uganda, you might eat a meal at one house and then travel, go to a neighboring house, and they will have prepared another meal for you, which you are expected and kind of obligated to eat. Now, that hospitality doesn't really have in its mind the guest, does it? You know, I've been in those situations before where you're stuffed and you're like, well, thank you, but like, I cannot eat another bite, nor would it be good for me to. You know, it's but there's this obligation to provide it, you know? Let me give you a more, a closer example that probably more of us can relate with culturally. There's one type of party that we throw as Americans, as Westerners, that is particularly bad at keeping in mind the guest of honor. That party is the one-year-old birthday party, right? The one-year-old birthday party is not really for the one-year-old birthday boy or girl, is it? No, really, it's hospitality, it's a party for us. You know, like, they don't care about even the gifts that you got, you know, or the fancy decorations that you have prepared. It's a party for you, and for photos, and for Instagram, and for the baby book, you know, and for your loved ones, but it really has pretty little to do, not many of the accommodations, I'll say, have been tailored and altered to the one-year-old. I should say the firstborn one-year-old, because after that, everything changes anyway, and you've learned your lesson, you know? So that's kind of the territory that I want to work in this morning. Hospitality that is us focused versus hospitality that is others focused, okay? So in this series on hospitality, you know, kind of we've been looking at God's hospitality towards us. We've largely, and our hospitality to one another, we've largely focused it on like our corporate hospitality, right? Most of our weeks, the application has been about the hospitality that takes place oftentimes like literally in these four walls, like the hospitality that we can display to one another on Sunday morning. And if not that, then the hospitality that we as a corporate body can display like out in the world, but as the church, you know? Well, today we kind of shift. The emphasis for this message isn't about the hospitality that is played out like corporately among us, but the hospitality that we live out individually, like in our lives, like privately in the world. Sometimes, even if we push ourselves to be hospitable when we're together and to make room for each other, that isn't all that God is calling us to do. He's calling us to be hospitable in our very lives, in our everyday world. In fact, sometimes in the series, I've drawn on those like private examples in order to make a point for us corporately. You know, I would say things like, think about the hospitality that you receive like with a nice guest room, you know, like how can we create that kind of environment here? Or think about the hospitality that you receive around a table with like loving, you know, community, like how can we create that here? But what about those actual guest rooms and actual dining tables like in our homes? Can those places be spaces of hospitality also? Of course, the answer is yes. Hospitality isn't just lived out when we gather. Christians are to live lives of hospitality out in the world. It should characterize and mark our lives as followers of Jesus. So today we're not talking just about making room in your rows, which do that also, you know, when you're here. But make room in your lives for hospitality and for others. How can we show hospitality in our daily lives, in our relationships, in our homes? So studying hospitality, like biblical hospitality in the Bible, is a little bit difficult because hospitality, the word itself, is only used like 7 times in the New Testament. One of them is that reading that Jim read for us this morning, you know, that 1 Peter reading. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. It shows us that offering hospitality is a key way that we demonstrate and show our love to other people in our lives. But despite the infrequency of the usage of the word in the pages of Scripture, I think hospitality runs throughout the entire book of the Bible. The Bible is permeated with this idea of hospitality, even if it doesn't explicitly say so. The audience of the Bible understands that it is a given to live that hospitality out in our lives. You know, beyond the pages of Scripture, hospitality was a key way, a key reason why the gospel of Jesus Christ spread so rapidly and so profoundly in the early world. No one before Jesus took hospitality as seriously as he did. And early Christians were animated by that concept of hospitality. It became their reputation. Hospitality was a way that the world came to label Christians because of their generous care of one another and of the world. You know, even pagans, there were 2 catastrophic plagues that killed hundreds of or thousands of people in AD 165 and 260. And during that time, Christians took such profoundly good care of the sick and dying that hospitality was their reputation. It made an impact, not only on the survivors, but on the people that watched Christians running back into areas that were in terrible shape. And from this, the Christian tradition grew to include the building of hospitals and orphanages. Hospitality has been a mark of the people of God from day one. I say that to simply emphasize again that practicing hospitality when we're here at church is important, but even more so, maybe, is the way that we live out hospitality in the world, in our actual lives. We want the Holy Spirit to make us the most hospitable people that we can possibly be, at church and in the world, in our homes. So my sermon title this morning, I think, is Hospitable Homes. Yeah, and just know that, like, homes kind of read there, like, also just every part of your life, you know? Like, it does happen in your homes, it can, I'll give examples of that. But I just mean, like, every facet of your private life. Okay, so three points this morning for us. I want to talk about the picture of hospitable homes. I want to talk about the practice of hospitable homes and the power for hospitable homes. The picture, the practice, and the power, 3 points, all start with P, made it easy for you today, okay? All right, picture. Let's look at a biblical picture of hospitality, even though the word is not mentioned one time. It's that story that I just read, the story of Mary and Martha and their hosting of Jesus. This story teaches us some profound things about hospitality. So what do we see here? Well, for one, we see just like pretty profound hospitality, like Middle Eastern first century hospitality. You know, like Jesus was traveling with his disciples, you know, so that's 13 grown men, and they make an appearance at Mary and Martha's front door, and Mary and Martha are expected to kind of drop everything and prepare a meal, you know, and those guys didn't eat like we eat now, so when it was mealtime, they probably were ready to eat. So 13 men, like Mary and Martha need to host a dinner for 13 men, and they need to do it now, you know? And so they drop everything, and they warmly receive them in and begin preparing all the accommodations. So serving an impromptu meal like that was no doubt expensive and a lot of work and time-consuming, but hospitality required it. So Mary and Martha, they did it. And so for us to have like hospitable homes, we need to be willing to make some of those same sacrifices. Sometimes it's expensive, and sometimes it's time-consuming, and sometimes it's a lot of work. But like when hospitality is called for, we step up to the plate and we engage it. Jesus and his disciples showed up, and Mary and Martha dropped everything to host them. But that isn't all that the story teaches us about hospitality. There's another aspect here, a deeper kind of hospitality, and we see it primarily in the character, the person, Mary. So we have to use our imaginations here a little bit to imagine what was going on in this story. But Mary and Martha, I think it's clear from this text that Mary and Martha were both going about the meal preparations and the hospitality preparations. It doesn't explicitly say that, but you see Martha, her words to Jesus were, don't you see that my sister has left me? You know? So Mary and Martha had been going about the work of hospitality together, and then for some inexplicable reason, Mary left the preparations. It's inexplicable, at least to Martha. And we have to speculate ourselves a little bit. Why did she leave? Why did Mary clock out early? You know, they were in it together. These two sisters were working on this project together. What made Mary walk away? Well, we don't know for sure. Again, speculation and imagination are due here. But we know that Jesus was talking. And what was he talking about? Of course, hard to say. But one chapter earlier is the first instance where Jesus starts talking about his own death. Is it possible that as Jesus and his disciples were sitting together, that Jesus started talking about that, and Mary overheard that topic and left her place in the kitchen or whatever to come sit at Jesus' feet? Well, we don't know, but whatever Mary heard or saw, she realized that what Jesus needed from her in that moment was not the meal. What Jesus needed from her was her attention. Jesus had something to say. And I believe that he wanted Martha there too. But Martha was distracted. She was busy with the work of hospitality. And no one faulted her for that. It was expected. In fact, I'm sure Mary got looks from the disciples when she came and sat down with all the men in the living room there or whatever, you know? Martha was focused on fulfilling the expectations of hospitality, but Mary was the one that was actually being truly hospitable. She was the one that could see what their guest needed and tended to that. True hospitality isn't about fulfilling some kind of standard. It's about being aware and meeting the needs of our guests. It's about being others focused, not self-centered. Real hospitality is focused on what the guest needs, not the expectations that you put on yourself, not on the image of hospitality that you would like to uphold. It's about the good care of the guest. Are we doing our hospitality for them or are we really doing it for us? Oftentimes, I know, when people host people in their homes, there is a big component that is about our perception, like the way that we want to be perceived as hospitable, the plate settings, etc. We get consumed with like the image of hospitality, and sometimes we miss true hospitality, being present to the people. I want to say here that like I get that this is a leap for some of you. Some of you are like, look, Dean, I barely can manage to do hospitality like here on Sunday mornings. Like what you're talking about of really like inviting people into my life and into my home outside of this, that is a bridge too far. And I know that there are others of you that are like, man, that's my jam. Like I love having people in my home. I love hosting people. And so I just want to recognize here that I get that there's a spectrum about kind of hospitality in our lives. So I especially want to, I'm going to offer some tips now, okay, for like opening up your life in this way and extending God's hospitality to people in your personal life. So this would be that second point here, the practice of hospitable homes. So yeah, I want to give a couple of tips. I want to lean on some wisdom for kind of relational hospitality. And I do want to say I'm a little bit sensitive when I do this as a preacher, when I give kind of a bit of like a to-do list. You know, like I don't want my sermons to feel like that to you, that like, okay, now go try this and try this and try that. Like, but at the same time, we have been talking about hospitality for 8 weeks. And so like, I hope that you'll permit me this couple of minutes to share like some actual, like, I feel like tidbits for like, go try this thing. You know, there needs to be, I hope that you would expect a little bit of practical coaching. And so that's what I'm going to try to provide now. Okay. The practice of hospitable homes. What will help us to do this better? Two things. One, make room. We have to make room. I think that's on our sermon slide too, yeah. That's the title of the entire series. Hospitality is about making room. One of the reasons why we all struggle to be hospitable in our daily lives and in our homes is because we don't have much room for it. Our lives are just so full as it is. Our schedules are crazy. When would we possibly open up our lives or our homes for people, to host people? Our lives are too full. We can't invite more people into our lives because there is no room for them. And I think God is calling us to make room in our lives for people. Carve out time for hospitality. It may require some real intentionality. My life requires that kind of intentionality. You know, if Jenny and I want to host somebody like in our homes or like get together with somebody, it is a shamefully large amount of work to do that. You know, like we have to like sit down, the two of us, and find a common date on our calendar and then propose it to the person. Like it takes too long, but man, we have to make some room. We have to be intentional if we're going to actually invite people into our lives. And it may require like saying no to some good things in order to say yes to this really important thing. Remember, hospitality, just like the first Peter passage said, it can be an expression of your love for them. It's worth it. One of the reasons why we aren't hospitable is because we just don't have any room. So make space. The second little practical tip for hospitality in your daily life would be, I'll say, like, tend to the different aspects of hospitality. Let me explain this, okay? Let's come back to the Mary and Martha story for just a second. I think that there are two elements of hospitality happening in that story in Mary and Martha's home. There's like the practical stuff of hospitality, no? The meal and the drinks and the space, you know? There's the stuff of hospitality, the accommodations, and Martha is tending to those things. There are clearly preparations to be made, and Martha is busying herself with that world. Now, again, Martha gets a bad rap oftentimes, I think, especially in this story. But what's she doing? She's doing hospitality. She's doing the stuff that we've been talking about for 7 weeks. She's trying to express her love to Jesus and to his friends by hosting a meal for them. Those things are important, food and drinks and space and such. Now, I want to stop right there, though. Some of you are probably intimidated by that aspect of hospitality. You know, you're probably saying to yourself, but Dean, like, I don't have a good space for hospitality. You know, like, my accommodations aren't such that I would want to be inviting people into. It's not conducive or nice enough for hosting guests. And if that's you, I know nothing about your particular situation, but I would want to object to your objection, okay? I have received loving, warm hospitality in the most modest of accommodations. I mean, just the simplest of places. Hospitality does not require, like, social media presentable, like, place settings, you know, and centerpieces. I have received amazingly warm hospitality over a glass of water. You know, like, we can all do this. You don't have to have fancy plates in order to extend God's hospitality through stuff, through a meal or hosting someone. But it does take sensitivity to them and, like, a willingness to see them and offer them something. And so if you're intimidated even by that, then I would say I'm not letting you off the hook. I'm saying that you can even host someone by, like, taking them out to a meal or a coffee. Like, literally for a few dollars, you can pay someone to do the stuff of hospitality for you. You know, like, pour a drink and bust your table. You know, like, we can all do this, okay? But in this passage, so that's, like, the first part of hospitality, and we should tend to that part, the stuff of hospitality. But we also see another aspect of hospitality in this passage, and it's one that is was particularly seen and tended to by Mary. And that's that hospitality requires presence. You know, like, being present to someone. Not just the stuff of hospitality, it requires being present to them. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and it says that she was listening to him. That's being present. Jesus says, there's one thing that's needed. And Mary is doing that. She's being present to me. So even if when you host someone, you get the meal just right, you know, like the burgers are perfectly cooked and you have paired the exact right wine with the meal and your house is so tidy that you've managed to fool your guests into thinking that this is what it looks like all of the time, you know? Even if you've done all of those things, but you fail to be present to your guests, then you have missed something in hospitality. Hospitality requires a presence. Be interested in your guests. Ask them questions. Be a better listener than talker. Let your love for them come across in more than just the casserole. Let it come across through your listening, attentive ear, your generous spirit of conversation, question asking. They want and they need your loving attention. Okay, so those are like the practices. How do we practice hospitality in our homes? Lastly, power for hospitality in our homes. I think this, a passage like this, a message like this, I think can be really intimidating. Like, Jesus kind of raises the bar for hospitality in this passage. You know, it would be easier if hospitality was just about the casserole, wouldn't it? You know, like, that's all you got to do is get the casserole right. And you can host people well, you know, but the bar is much higher. It's being present to people, it's seeing them, it's being others focused rather than self-centered. And that we are not going to accomplish by just trying harder, you know? Like, get out there and do a better job, you know? How do we get that kind of hospitality? How do we become those kinds of people? How does that change occur in my heart? Back to the Mary and Martha story. Mary wasn't just being present and attentive to any guest that day. She was doing that, but there's even more going on. She was sitting at the feet of her teacher. And to sit at the feet of a teacher like Jesus in the first century was more than just about being a good listener. Sitting at the feet of someone like that was a sign of submission and of discipleship. By taking her place at Jesus' feet, Mary was saying, "Jesus, you aren't just my guest, you are my Lord." All of her life, her relationships and her feelings and her habits, every aspect of her life, by sitting at Jesus' feet, she was saying, like, "I submit all of this to you, Jesus. Show me how to live, Lord. I come to you and I offer my life. Show me how to live." If we want to display real others-focused hospitality, then we need a big change to happen in our hearts. We need to lay our lives down, hold them up to Jesus and say, "Lord, will you show me how to live?" Jesus has something for us. When we offer him our lives, he has a life for us in return. He said that he has come that we may have life and have it to the full. He offers us the fullness of life. Doesn't mean that our life will be easy. It may be sacrificial and it may be difficult, but I can promise you that if you offer your life, your relationships, your habits, your every aspect of your life to the Lord, it may be difficult, but the life that he will give you in return will be a full one. He comes that we may have life and have it to the full. He offers us the fullness of life, letting us set aside our self-centeredness to come and sit at his feet and to submit our hearts and our lives to him. So I want to pray and ask God to do that for us, to give us that kind of power, that kind of heart-changing power today. All right, will you stand?